Welcome to the fall .. virtual summit brought to you today by the Public Speakers Association. I am so excited to introduce to you one of the most amazing women out there, Ms. Arlene Gale. Arlene, would you take it from here?
I will. Thank you, Tanya. Yes, well, yeah, we can thank Tanya because she has had the topic of fall on the agenda for today, but I'm going to turn the tables on her because fall is a four-letter word. The phrase a four-letter word refers to a set of words in the English language that factually do indeed have four letters in each word, but that's not really what we're meaning here, is it? The meaning of a four-letter word goes way beyond the spelling. So in a conversation, if somebody says, and sometimes your kids will come up and go, he said a four-letter word, meaning that it was profane or crass or vulgar or inappropriate or slang, all of those, but all of those have a negative connotation. So the phrase a four-letter word means that it's bad. And even when I say that's a four-letter word, your mind may begin to gravitate when you hear it to some of those negative words, those four-letter words that I assure you that we will not be discussing today. We're going to go a little bit different route with this terminology of a four-letter word. Have you ever seen that bumper sticker that says laundry is a four-letter word? Well, come on, really? If you can spell, you know laundry is really spelled with seven letters, right? But that's not the point here, is it? The point is that the person who's got this bumper sticker on their car means that they hate to do laundry. And they consider the word laundry to be either A, vulgar, B, profane, C, detestable, or perhaps even D, all of the above. And if it's not clear to you exactly what they mean by the saying that laundry is a four-letter word, there's a graphic that goes on the bumper sticker where there's a woman standing next to a pile of laundry that's about waist high, and there's kind of like green streams of smoke or fumes coming off that pile of clothing. So you kind of get that the image that what they mean about laundry is a four-letter word. You know, kind of imagine that a la Pigpen, that Charlie Brown cartoon character. Yeah, that image should seal the deal for you about what they mean when they say laundry is a four-letter word. So the main point I'd like to make today are that words don't inherently have meaning or value on their own. We, the language user, give those words meaning, depth, and power. Yes, words, even though they're inanimate objects, do wield power. Words can create pain. Words can heal. Words can cause fear. Or words can inspire and motivate. So my goal here today is to help reframe some of those four-letter words that have a negative meaning or create a negative outlook on the way we function in life, to help us rethink four-letter words, or at least some of these four-letter words, in a more positive way. So today I'm going to kind of key in on three specific four-letter words: fall, fast, and then love. So let's start with fall. At this time of year, we all hear the word fall and we think cooler temperatures. In Texas, we think, yay, we're finally done with those 100-degree days. But up in the north, they begin to wonder, worry, and even prepare for what winter holds for them. As fall approaches, they know that their harsh winters are not far behind. Some people love fall colors, too. I know people that spend money on an airplane ticket to fly someplace where they can actually see fall colors. Because here, where I live, fall means green to brown. There aren't any of those beautiful deep yellows or reds or flaming oranges in the leaves that they go to see and watch them just let go of those tree branches and slowly waft down to the ground. They're just very passionate about those sights. While other people may dread watching those colors of leaves falling to the ground because they're the ones that have to rake up all that debris in their yard. So again, these examples of fall approach are about people approaching the season of fall from different perspectives with different perceptions. And that's basically what I'm talking about today, is changing perceptions or allowing us the opportunity to see things from someone else's point of view. So let's talk about another meaning of fall. It's also a four-letter word, drop, as in drop to the ground, or collapse, or descend, or plummet. In today's living, it's not a matter, in today's living day to day, it's not a matter of if you will fall, it's a matter of when you will fall. And then the question becomes, what are you going to do next? You know, in my life, I've known too many people who fall down and then spend years and years stumbling around trying to figure it out again, trying to figure out how to get back up on their feet. So here's a couple of hints that I'd like to share with you about things that I've learned from times when I've taken that fall and I felt down and I struggled to stand up again at all, much less to stand tall. So the first thing that I'd like to talk about when it comes to the fall is the issue that asking for help is not a sign of weakness. So let's reframe how we use that four-letter word, help. Asking for help really should be a sign of your strength. It can be counted as a personal blessing when we ask for help. When we recognize that we have been blessed with people in our lives who care about us, people are willing to help us, you know, that's a great thing. That's a powerful thing. And asking for help can uncover that power and that beauty in your life. That knowledge, those feelings should be celebrated and then used when needed. So don't prejudge your friends or family, acquaintances, coworkers, and don't say, oh, they don't care, or they won't have time for me, or they can't help me. That's not your job. You've just made all these assumptions and judgments on their life. And that's not your job. Your job is simply to ask for help when you need it. This became clear to me when a dear friend of mine told me this once. And I got to be honest with you, I was a little bit upset. Now, I was a little angry at her for this realization and sharing it with me until I realized how really true she was being to our friendship and to this information she was providing with me, to me. This friend found out in a phone call that I had needed help and I hadn't bothered to ask her. I had been very sick and I struggled to try and do this alone with two small children. I don't know how many of you have ever been in that position or not, but I didn't ask for help because I prejudged my friends. And when she found out, this is what she said to me. I gave you the gift of friendship and you just let it sit around unwrapped and unappreciated. You had no idea what the depth of this gift was. You accepted the gift of my friendship on the surface, but then you just laid the box down and admired the wrapping paper or the beautiful bow. You never opened the box and dug deep into the friendship to see what pieces were included inside and how they fit together. Then to further add insult to injury, she asked, if someone asked for your help, I bet you'd be there for them, wouldn't you? Well, again, I answered, but I was a little bit in shock and more than a little bit angry when I responded about, well, yeah, but that's different. Her response completely buried me at that point when she came back with, how dare you not allow your friends the opportunity to be there for you? How dare you not allow your friends the opportunity to be there for you? Ouch, ouch. That reframing has been part of the perspective that I have in my life, have had since that day forward. And it's saved me from very many heartaches. And it saved me when I felt bad or have fallen or stumbled and I felt so alone. Because again, your job when you're struggling is not to just do it alone. It's about asking for help. Just lay it out there. Ask for what you need. You don't have to do life by yourself. Find someone to talk to. Go through your address book and call somebody. Call everyone, for that matter, because just the act of making that phone call, even if you leave a voicemail time and time again, gives you strength when you reframe the fact that, thank goodness, I have all these people that I can call and I can reach out to. And you know what else? every time you ask for help and you leave that message on their machine, you're more and more empowered, and you begin to process the problem and the solution better for yourself. The second thing I want to say about fall is it's not about the fall. It's about the getting back up. You are worth the effort. You are worth the investment of your time and your energy. The fall is not what defines us. We all fall. I know, let's take a moment to go, darn the humanity, because that's who we are. We're only human. What defines us is when we give up on ourselves, or when we give up the fight, or we can choose to stand back up again and put one foot in front of the other. That's what defines us. So instead of focusing on the four-letter word fall, let's focus on the four-letter words like rise, live, or how about you combine these two? Live life. The next four-letter word I'd like to take a moment to talk about is fast. Oh my goodness. We live in an age of fast food, instant messaging. Everyone seems to be in a big hurry to get from point A to point B. So we forget to enjoy the time and manner in which we get to where we're going. How many times have you been guilty of saying something like this? Come on, let's move it, move faster, we're going to be late. How many four-letter words were in that? Fast, move, late. Then you get everybody in the car pointed in the right direction, and you get behind a slow driver, and you creep along at that slow rate of speed. At least that's your perception, because you're in such a big hurry, when in actuality, that driver may be driving the speed limit. But that doesn't matter, because you want them to move because you're late. So honk, 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 you go on the car horn because you're getting frustrated and you're even to the point of anger. Maybe you even yell some of those four-letter words we kind of alluded to earlier, but we weren't going to talk about. Yeah. So you've gotten to your event now, and you parked your car, and you hurry out feeling good about yourself because you finally made it, and now you have to wait. Wait, a four-letter word, incidentally. Hurry up and wait. You've heard that term? Yep. So what was the original goal of this outing? Was it to take the family out to have a fun experience, to celebrate a special event? Well, you started out with great intentions, but the need for speed torpedoed the bottom line. Because by the time you got to where you were going, everybody was frustrated, stressed out, angry, and maybe there were even a few tears shed. Well, how does that end result measure up with your intentions? Yeah, probably not at all. So how much better aligned to your ultimate goals would the evening or outing have turned out if you would just slow down? Four-letter words. And create a plan. So how about you develop and communicate a timeline plan? I can talk about this with some confidence and competence because being late is one of my pet peeves, but I also love to surprise my family with outings. Yeah, that's a disaster in the making. That is a deadly combination. So I've decided that when I try and surprise my family that I've got to have a plan. So I will tell them that on this night, we're going to go do something, and I'd like for you to be dressed and ready to go at this time. So your plan would have to be clearly communicated, and it might go something like this. You think about the who, okay? Is it just you and your spouse? Is it you and your spouse and your children? Is it you and a bunch of friends? So who is it that needs to hear about this plan? Okay, then there's the what. What about going to this event is different than maybe what you do every day, like dress code? So if you're taking teenagers out to a restaurant that's a little bit more dressy and they're used to running around in shorts and t-shirts, they're probably going to show up in shorts and t-shirt because you didn't tell them not to. So even if they're there in time, now they're going to be late because they got to turn around and change. So the what is, we're going to a nice place. I need you to be ready with long pants, dressy pants, and a nice shirt. When? Next Friday night at 6:30. Where? Be in the kitchen, fully dressed, ready to go, get in the car at 6:30. Communicating is the key to overcoming the dilemma of fast, move, and then wait. Also, the added bonus is, think about what you're teaching your children. Teaching them communication, teaching them organization skills, teaching them how much fun your family can have together. Because as a leader, as a parent, those are powerful tools that they can take with them for the rest of their lives. The other thing is when you get to where you're going and you're standing in line, and everybody hates to stand in line, but because everybody's in a better mood because you had a plan, you can actually slow down and talk and enjoy the time together. So the four-letter words I'd like you to focus on are plan and then communicate it well, so that then you can take that four-letter word of move and turn it into something positive as you move through your life. I'd like to finish today with my last four-letter word. That word is love. Yeah, I know you're probably thinking, Arlene, yeah, I know all about love. Been there, done that, yeah. After all, I tell everybody, I love ice cream, or I love chocolate cake, or, hey, I love that dress you're wearing. Ooh, I love that new haircut or that new hair color. Ooh, I love that football team. Yeah, we use the word love a lot. We toss it around and overuse it to the point where sometimes the word alone doesn't have a whole lot of meaning. So how do you treat the word love? Do you treat it like a noun or do you treat it like a verb? So let's go back in time and remember those grammar school lessons. A noun is a word that identifies a person, place, or thing. So in this case, do you treat love like a thing? And then a verb is a word that is action. It's an action word. So do you treat love as an action? How do you live love in your life? The truth is, if you live love as a verb, you really would never have to tell someone that you love them, that they would feel it in your everyday actions. Now, just stop right there for a moment, and I don't recommend that you stop telling the people in your life that you love them. They might notice and they might take offense, okay? But the point is that if your actions speak for you, the need to express just the words is not as strong. And your actions and your words begin to match, which makes the love even deeper, even richer. When we just use the words without action, then it belittles the word. It belittles the feeling. It undervalues the relationship. Just using the word love without action is like, you know, ordering a piece of chocolate cake and they give you a crumb with no frosting on it. What's that all about? No, I ordered a piece of cake. The action of love, though, can come in many forms. Sometimes love as an action is not very healthy. For example, when an abuser hits their spouse or beats their spouse, let's not sugarcoat this. So most of you would say, hey, that's not love, right? But then the abuser apologizes and says something like, well, if you love me, you'll forgive me. You'll give me another chance. If you love me, you won't call the police. If you love me, you'll stay with me, right? The word love here is being tossed around as a thing. And the actions that are violent and vile do not demonstrate love as a verb. So love as a noun and love as a verb, these two things don't go together. This is love being used as a weapon, as a way to wield guilt. That's not love. The disconnect between love, the feeling, and love, the action, is huge in this example. It's time to get out of that relationship because that love needs to be about you and your safety. You need to find a safe place. It's unhealthy, and it's not good for you to stay in an environment, in a situation where your self-love is beaten out of you, and that the person who's doing it says they love you, but they're really not acting that way at all. But let's look at love a little bit from a more healthy perspective. When we first meet someone and we say we're in love, there's a lot of romance, right? A lot of romantic gestures. Every time we turn around, you know, someone's paying for dinner or bringing flowers for no reason or sending cards, putting love notes and lunches that we may do for our kids, even our spouses. Maybe we surprise him with tickets to a concert where his favorite band is performing. Or maybe you take her for a long weekend getaway in the mountains, even if you don't like being in the mountains. Right? That's love. That's love as a verb. But after couples have been together for a few years, the actions stop. The verb love stops because other things in life become overwhelming. Work, children, caring for aging parents, and other things like that. But a relationship that doesn't have love as an action is a relationship that's dying. It's again about making that plan and doing something about it. When you're that busy or that overwhelmed with life, the love or romance may not be spontaneous. And that's okay. It's about acting on the love. It's about love as a verb. That's your primary goal. For example, when you stop at a gas station, then run in and see if they have roses or any kind of flowers and take them home. Or maybe you stop to fill up your car with gas and you run into the grocery store and get some chocolate cherry ice cream that you know is his favorite. It doesn't have to be big and it doesn't have to be hard. Love should be something that you can fit in every single day. How would your spouse feel, for example, if you sent them a text every once in a while that says something like, "Thank you, I love you." Especially if they didn't do anything special, that makes them wonder, what did I do right? And that's okay, because now you've got them thinking about you. And you've also got them noticing that you've appreciated them. So they're focused on your love. And isn't that what it's about? Is to love completely every day? And not just what you say, but in what you do. So I'd like to end today with leaving you with these four letter words that I hope that you will bring into your life and use them every day, especially when we begin to stumble or fall or we have other problems in our lives that just kind of knock us off path. So those four letter words are in this phrase: live the love. In everything you say and do, live the love. So add a step or two in your normal day, and remember that when you're doing it, learn or live the love. Reframe those four-letter words like move and fast and refocus them so you live the love. Thank you for your time today. I really appreciate it, and I hope you get a little piece of value out of my presentation today. Again, my name is Arlene Gale. That's spelled A-R-L-E-N-E. G-A-L-E. If you like this podcast and you want to learn more about me and my perspective on life and how I approach it, then I hope maybe you'd go to Amazon.com and look for my best-selling international award-winning book. It's called Face Forward, Move Forward. If you're looking for a speaker for your next event or you know someone else who is, please go to my website. It's easy, ArleneGale.com, ArleneGale.com. Go to the contact me and let's start that conversation. Also on my website, I've got speaking topics there listed, and you can look at those and pick one or start the conversation with me about what you're seeing and what your event is, and I will make a presentation specifically for you. Also, if you go to my website, you can sign up for my newsletter free for you right now. So please do that at the bottom of the page, any of the pages, ArleneGale.com, and sign up for my free newsletter. I'd love for you to come and like my professional Facebook page, too. It's at arlene.gale.author.speaker. So arlene.gale.author.speaker. Join me on Twitter, too. My Twitter handle is @Arlene_Gale. And if you have any comments or questions or just like to communicate with me, my email address is arlene@arlenegale.com. If you'd like to communicate for whatever reason, I'm available for you. And again, go out and live your life to the fullest. Remember to live the love. Thank you. Good day.